Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest is working with a new format, new materials, and a new exhibit. Laura, Ontario area artist Phil Irish opened his exhibit Precipice at an art gallery in Hamilton in December, and it continues until the end of this month. Phil's on the phone with us tonight to talk about his latest works. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Inheritance from Jay Calder's CD Vision. And now to our conversation with Phil Irish. Good evening, Phil.
Good evening. So glad to be here.
Yeah. Now, you've been fairly busy over the last little while. You've been teaching. You've been doing a number of different things. Catch us up on what you've been doing. I think it's probably been about maybe a year or half a year or so since we last talked. Catch me up on what you've been doing.
Sure, Robert. So I'm very excited about where my art is moving these days. And, of course, we could talk about teaching as well. Art-wise, I had a show in the summer, which was at a public gallery, and they were my large collage paintings, so very large mural-scale pieces. I think one was probably 15 by 20 feet, largest thing I've done. Really exciting, dealing with mountain imagery and global warming imagery. But right now I have a show on in Hamilton, which uses similar imagery, but it's scaled it down for the most part. So these are brand new pieces, and I'm trying to figure out how to work on aluminum so they're smaller, not on paper, but on aluminum, but dealing with the same imagery. So I'm really thrilled how that show has worked out.
Now, when you're doing the large ones, like I've seen some large pieces. I know Rachel Albano, who's an abstract artist up in the same area of Ontario as you are. I've seen large, but 15 feet, like that just, how do you put something like that together in, you know, particularly in your studio, but have, be able to conceive something that is that massive?
Well, the funny thing is that my studio isn't that big at all.
I didn't think it was.
No. So the way that this process has worked for me has been really exciting and involves a degree of risk where I make images that are as big as my studio wall, which is, you know, a normal kind of 8 feet high ceiling and 20 feet wide. So I make images that are up to that big, and then I roll them up onto a sonotube, and when I arrive at the gallery, I have all these images I've made that can work together in different ways to form my composition. And so the way these pieces work is that they combine, you know, some part might be very realistic and like a romantic painterly version of a mountain where you see the glaciers, and then another part might be these yellow and black stripes that are like an emergency warning, and another part might be this poured black paint that looks like an oil spill, and another part might be you know, a beautiful pattern of blue and white that looks like snow falling. And so I have all these ingredients which share a palette, and but they also have a lot of differences, and it's exciting to be in the gallery space and actually piece together how the pieces will interrelate and rhyme and actually form a real composition that works.
Mm-hmm. And you've moved beyond just, you know, paintings where, you know, the 2D image. These are now 3D because you've got pieces that are coming out and that whole aspect. What led to that decision to move from, you know, the 2D paintings now to something that actually is broader and has that 3D component to it?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's felt so natural to do, and yet it is a strange kind of move. But partly it was because I was interested in collage and how things can move around and the possibilities with that. And the part that really always was making me mad was actually gluing stuff down, and it seemed to lose so much of its life. And so just as I was experimenting, I was just pinning things to the wall, originally quite small, but with paper. And I just became interested in how you could overlap or tuck things under or rip things and have things coming through the rip. And I think that speaks to our experience, too, of life, where things get broken and then put together. So there's a sense of suffering and healing and you know, God's work in patching things together, and how do we find wholeness when things are hard? How do we let go of control? So there are all these aspects in there that I feel come out of this way of working. So I don't know. It when I was doing my master's, I did my master's degree I guess about 3 or 4 years ago now. That's kind of when this change happened. And when you're doing a degree like that, it is a time to really test things and experiment. Mm-hmm. And this vocabulary just kind of came out of that. And I'm really thrilled how it's still moving along.
Now, when you're working on the works in your studio, and that, are you developing the 3D images there? Or is that something that happens once you get to the gallery, but you already have an idea of where you want to go with this?
For the larger pieces, it's almost like making an inventory. I mean, there's some things I know, like the ones that have the big mountain peak in the middle. I kind of know that that's my... I have a sort of structure in my head that's very loose, but I kind of know. But other things happen just by seeing the pieces on the gallery floor. It's like, yeah, I want to take this piece, and that's going to go with this. And so it takes me a long time to install. I usually have a couple helpers, and it takes me 3 days or, you know, it's a lot of intense decision-making. It's thrilling, actually. Yeah. I love it.
It also sounds a lot more physical than what you think of when somebody, when you have an artist installing something. It's like just, you know, here's the painting, go hang it up, you know, see if the lighting works and you know, setting it up in that. Is there a lot more physicality involved in what you're doing now?
Very, very much. You know, I have 150 feet of painting unfurled on the floor and two really tall ladders, and we're climbing up and nailing stuff into the wall and then changing it and taking it down and cutting things. And it's, you know, music's playing and we're thinking hard, and it's great. And it's collaborative, too. So when I'm working with a helper, you know, it gives another set of eyes. And so there are a few people that I trust a lot when I'm working on installing, and it's a great experience.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with artist Phil Irish. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Listening to The Cupbearer Forgot from Jay Calder's Vision CD. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with Phil Irish. You mentioned earlier in the program about the new exhibit you've got going on in Hamilton. It's called Precipice. Give us an idea of what people are going to see if they go to the exhibit.
Yeah, certainly. So Be Contemporary is the name of the gallery. It's on James Street North. It's right on the Art Crawl area, so I'm really pleased to be showing there. These are smaller works, and so I haven't done a smaller work kind of show in a few years, and what I've been trying to do is take that ephemeral, kind of impermanent, large pieces I've been doing, and shift that into a way that they can just be hung on the wall, that they're permanent, that they're strong, but they still have the sense of cutting and collaging and things moving around. And so I've been using aluminum, which I can paint on flat, and then cut and bend and rivet together to make my relief sculpture paintings. And so that's been a new move, and I'm very pleased with how that's worked out. So the imagery, again, is similar. You have these mountain peaks. You have patterns of yellow and black. You have the yellow is often kind of a toxic kind of image in this series, but then there are also these beautiful yellow birds that come in as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of hope and struggle and contamination and where heaven and earth meet that all comes in here. There's another piece, actually, that doesn't have the mountain, but it's similar theme. It's called Motor City, and it's actually based on a place in Detroit where there's this beautiful old theater, which they've actually made into a car park. So you're standing in this parking lot, and above your head is this beautiful plaster molded ceiling from a, I don't know, 1920s theater or something. It's amazing and strange. You're in a parking lot. So that I have a piece that has that beautiful ceiling and then these chunks of blue metal like car coming out the bottom of it. So it's asking about, you know, how we live, what we value, what future we see. And I'm really pleased with really how this new work has cohered.
Mm-hmm. Well, what prompted the move to aluminum?
Well, again, aluminum is beautiful to paint on. I mean, it's so smooth, and you put an oil primer on. I love painting on it. But also, it's like paper in that it can bend and be cut. So I was looking for something like the paper I was using on the large scale, but something that, you know, that you could put in your house and isn't going to, you know, be as fragile as paper. The big pieces, I have to be there to set them up, but, you know, I can't come into your living room and,
right.
Well, I guess I could, but these are much more accessible that way. And creative-wise, it's been quite beautiful to work smaller. There's a kind of care that can go into every square inch that you can't do when you're working at 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really found it refreshing and exciting to work in this way. And they really form a distinct statement that is very, just dealing with the permanence. I think it mm-hmm. brings out a different way of working, even though it still has the sense of cutting and healing as well.
What were some of the challenges you found as you moved from paper to aluminum? Were there, you know, in terms of just finding the ways it was going to work, you know, and that type of stuff?
Well, I would say the hardest thing is actually putting the pieces together. So if you imagine me painting, I mean, I love painting, that's great. And then the collaging, I've got a few different cutting tools, so I'm cutting through the aluminum, and there's like little shards of metal flying around, and it's exciting, and it feels fresh. And then I have everything piled on the floor in the composition I want, and so I get up on a ladder, and I take a photograph. It's like, okay, that's what I want to look at. But then I have to take the whole thing apart and figure out how I can rivet it together in a way that actually is strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like doing this very strange jigsaw puzzle. And, you know, sometimes that gets tedious and kind of loses some. I wish maybe that I had an expert assistant that could do that part. I definitely find that a struggle.
Yeah.
But it seems to be working out. I get it in the end.
Again, is there an element of it's a lot more tactile. In terms of putting together, is there an element of that sense of feel when you're putting it together that is part of the process for you?
Like with the big pieces, right? It's this energy of looking around at the pieces I have and saying, what will solve this painting? What can I combine with this element I have that will make it alive, make it work? So that element is very free. But yeah, you know, sometimes I just spend a whole day with my rivet tool drilling holes in my own painting, and you just hope it works, right? But
have you ever got to the point where you've drilled a hole in the painting and you've riveted and you looked at it and you go, no, that's not the way I wanted it to look in the first place?
Yeah, totally. In fact, there was one piece where I had it all arranged, and then somehow when I was drilling holes, I drilled them in the wrong spot.
Oh.
And I had the whole thing together, and then I realized, wait a minute, this is upside down.
So did you have
so to? Actually, that piece is in the show, and you can see the holes. The holes became interesting, where they ended up. But that was a mistake.
Yeah. Now, I noticed, I remember on social media, you were showing some of the progress of some of the things you're doing. There was a silk screening process that you were working with one of the pieces as well.
Yeah, that's right. I've used stenciling and screening and even spray paint for years. Right now I'm working with a pattern of drips. They look like almost cartoon water drips, except that I screen different colors through it. So it can be water, it can be white and be almost like a snow icicle. And then I can also screen it in dark colors like black, and it references the oil
mm-hmm.
Moving through our landscape. So sometimes that shows up in paintings. I also have a series of photos, mountain images that I took in the Rockies, and I've silk screened the droplet pattern across those. So they're photographs, but they have oil paint silk screen on them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I find them very moving. Those are small pieces too, and they have a kind of intimate scale to them.
In the whole exhibit that you've got now in Hamilton, is there a specific theme that you were looking at? Was there sort of a message that you were hoping people would come away with as they were looking at the works?
Well, again, they're exploring this motif of the mountain on one side. So when I was in Banff two springs ago. You know, I was enjoying this spectacle of these, you know, beautiful mountains, and you think about the mountain of God. You think about Sinai. You think about, you know, just the sacred, you know, to the First Nations people, you know, a sense of where the sacred space. You can really feel that with everything that you are. And yet, you know, glaciers are melting. And so I also went to the oil sands. So you have the glaciers up elevated high, and then you have the oil sands digging down. So you have this up and down movement. So that ties into all of this. You can feel that in the work, this concern about where we're headed and how we're stewarding this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And just the speed, right? I think the mountain encourages you to slow down.
Yep.
It, you know, a mountain's time frame is not our calendar.
Yeah, and having probably seen some of the mountains that you've seen, I understand what you're saying. You can't just go, yeah, there's a mountain. It's like you're looking. You need to take time to take the whole mountain in.
And it doesn't care about our time frame, right? It's geological time. It's a huge time frame, and we get so hooked into the urgency of things that aren't actually urgent. So I think, you know, I think God gives us a metaphor there when we see these things. It's like, yes, there's to keep the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And not be so frantic.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take one final break, and then when we come back, we'll finish our conversation with Phil Irish. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Thank you.
back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to I Had the Strangest Dream from the Vision CD by Jay Calder. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Phil Irish. You've got as part of the exhibit, you've got an artist's talk coming up where people can actually come and hear and interact with you and get a little bit more information about the process, the art, the works, and that. When is that taking place?
So it's a Sunday afternoon in January, the 17th. Is that right? I think that's right. Yes, it is. 2:00 in the afternoon. And I love telling stories and engaging artwork. So I'm going to have a projector there and show some images of my travels and talk about the paintings that are there. And it's a great chance to be with a small group of people and explore the work more deeply. So I'm really happy to be doing that. So, yeah, come on out.
So remind us again, how long is the exhibit taking place till and where is it again?
So it runs through till the day before Christmas, and then it opens again after New Year's and runs all the way through January. So it's a nice long run. And it's called Be Contemporary, which is on James Street North in Hamilton. You know, Robert, I don't have the address right in front of me.
Well, I'm sure people can Google the Be Contemporary Gallery.
Yeah, and so it's just the letter B and the word contemporary, and it's on James Street North in Hamilton. Another really fun night to come out is the Art Crawl, so the second Friday of every month in Hamilton. That area of Hamilton has a big art event where you go from gallery to gallery, and I'll certainly be there that night. So that would be January 8th in the evening. So that's from 7 o'clock until, well, I think I was there to midnight this time. That's a great night to see lots of wonderful artwork.
And I'm sure people can get all these details on your own website and that. Where can people find out more about you and about your works?
Yeah, so my website is philirish.com. And I also have a Facebook page that has lots of information on it.
Great. Phil, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Great pleasure. Thanks so much. Bye, Robert.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today and thinking of my guest, Phil Irish. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email Robert at artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.